walks in, brushes confetti off shoulder. Happy New Year to you too. Though I have to say, you all look pretty good for being 500 years old. Settles in. All right. We've established that constraints enable structure. We've established that constraints themselves need to be constrained. Today we arrive at something beautiful. Some constraints are only needed temporarily. They do their job, they leave, and what remains can stand on its own. These temporary constraints have a name. We call them scaffolds. And once you understand scaffolds, you'll see them everywhere. You won't be able to unsee them. Leans against the board. Let me start with a puzzle. How do you build an arch? An arch is a remarkable structure. Once it's complete, it's incredibly stable. Each stone pushes against its neighbors, the forces distribute beautifully, the whole thing can stand for thousands of years. The Romans built arches that are still standing. But here's the problem. During construction, an arch is completely unstable. Think about it. You start laying stones from both sides, curving upward. But until that final stone, the keystone, drops into place at the top, the whole thing wants to fall inward. Every stone is just waiting to collapse. So how did the Romans do it? They built wooden frames first. Temporary supports, shaped like the inside of the arch. They laid the stones on top of the wooden frame. Once the keystone was in place and the arch could support itself, they knocked out the wood. The wood was necessary for construction. But it's not part of the final structure. It's gone. The arch remains. That wooden frame is a scaffold. Starts pacing. Here's what makes a scaffold. Three things. First, it constrains behavior during formation. The wooden frame holds the stones in position while they're being laid. It restricts where they can go. Second, it's not part of the final structure. Once the arch is complete, the wood is removed. It was never meant to stay. Third, and this is crucial, removing it doesn't destroy what was built. If you knock out the wood and the arch collapses, then the wood wasn't a scaffold. It was a load-bearing element. The whole point of a scaffold is that it becomes unnecessary. Stops, turns to face the class. Why does this matter? Why can't you just build things directly? Let me tell you about a failure mode that plagues every complex project. Direct assembly almost never works. Imagine trying to build something complicated, let's say a ship, by placing every plank, every nail, every rope, every sail all at once. Simultaneously. Every piece has to be in exactly the right position, perfectly aligned with every other piece, and it all has to hold together from the first moment. That's impossible. Any small error propagates. One plank slightly off means the next plank can't fit right, which means the whole curve's wrong, which means the whole thing leaks. Complex structures cannot be assembled globally. They have to be assembled locally and sequentially. And that's what scaffolds enable. Sit on the desk edge. Scaffolds solve the timing problem. Instead of demanding that everything be perfect everywhere all at once, a scaffold says, just get this part right for now. We'll worry about the rest later. You build the keel of the ship first. It's a scaffold for the ribs. You build the ribs. They're scaffolds for the planking. You build the planking. Each stage stabilizes before the next stage begins. Errors get corrected early, when they're cheap to fix. Later steps don't depend on impossible precision at the start. Scaffolds turn a fragile global problem into a sequence of survivable local problems. Gets up, walks to the window. Now let me show you that this isn't just a construction trick. It's everywhere in nature. Think about how a crystal forms. You've got a solution full of molecules, all jiggling around randomly. How do they organize into a perfect lattice? They don't all suddenly snap into position at once. That would require impossible coordination. Instead, a few molecules happen to stick together. Maybe on a tiny impurity. A speck of dust. A scratch on the container. that little cluster acts as a seed, a scaffold. Other molecules align against it. The crystal grows outward from the seed. Once the crystal is complete, where's the original seed? Often it's irrelevant. Sometimes it's been pushed out entirely. The scaffold did its job and vanished. Turns back. Think about how a body develops. An embryo doesn't build a heart, then a brain, then lungs, all independently. There are chemical gradients, concentrations of signaling molecules that vary across the developing tissue. More of this chemical means become a head. Less means become a tail. These gradients guide formation. They're scaffolds. They constrain what different cells become based on where they are. But here's the thing. In the adult body, those gradients are gone. You don't have a permanent head chemicals maintaining your headness. The scaffold did its job. The structure internalized what it needed. The temporary support disappeared. Paces slowly. Think about learning. When you learn to ride a bike, you probably had training wheels. Or a parent holding the back of the seat. Some external support that kept you from falling while you develop balance. At some point, the training wheels came off. The hand let go. And you could ride. The training wheels were a scaffold. They constrained your early behavior, prevented certain failures, but they're not part of how you ride now. You internalized balance. The external support became an internal capability. If you still needed training wheels at age 30, something went wrong. The scaffold is supposed to disappear. Sits back down, serious now. This is important. Scaffolds must disappear. Why? Because permanent scaffolds create dependency. And dependency is fragile. If a structure needs its scaffold forever, then whenever the scaffold fails, and scaffolds always eventually fail, everything does, the structure collapses. But if the structure can internalize what the scaffold provided, then it's free. It's autonomous. It can survive even when the conditions of its formation no longer exist. Leans forward. Here's another way to see it. A scaffold is like a loan. You borrow stability from your environment during formation. But loans have to be repaid. If you can't eventually stand on your own, you're bankrupt as soon as conditions change. The structures that persist are the ones that pay off the loan. They internalize the constraint. They no longer depend on external support. The structures that can't pay off the loan don't persist. They were never really viable. They just hadn't failed yet. Pauses. I want to address something that might be bothering the philosophy majors in the room. This sounds like design. It sounds like scaffolds are for something. Like there's a purpose, a goal, a plan. There isn't. A scaffold is not a blueprint. It doesn't specify the final form. It doesn't know what's being built. It just restricts failure. Any temporary constraint that happens to stabilize formation happens to disappear naturally and happens to leave behind something that can persist, that's a scaffold. No planning required. No foresight necessary. Scaffolds arise whenever formation would otherwise be impossible. They're not designed in. They're filtered for. Processes that can't scaffold their way to stability don't produce stable outcomes. We just don't see those outcomes because they didn't last. Stands up. Here's the profound thing. Once scaffolds exist, history starts to matter. Remember last semester we said laws are timeless? A law works the same today as it did yesterday. Laws have no memory. Scaffolds introduce memory. Because the order of assembly matters. Which scaffold came first affects what can scaffold next. What constraints internalized early affects what structures are possible later. Two systems with identical laws, given different sequences of scaffolds, can end up radically different. The universe becomes path-dependent. Not because the laws changed. Because scaffolds create history. Gathers notes. One more thought before I let you go. We've talked about scaffolds as individual things. A wooden frame. A chemical gradient. Training wheels. But what happens when scaffolds start scaffolding each other? When one temporary structure enables another temporary structure, which enables another, which finally produces something stable. That's called hierarchy. And that's where we're going next. Spoiler, this is how you get life. Heads for the door. I'll leave you with the closing line from your reading, because it's perfect. Scaffolds allow structure to borrow stability from the present so it can survive the future. That's not poetry. That's physics. That's the actual mechanism. 500 years from now, some version of you will still be explaining this. Because it's true. See you next week.